Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We've been here before. I'd like to speak some more about it, remind you of some things that already talked about before, and strengthen them, say a few more things about them. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. And this being the word of God, let us hear it. Let each of us hear and together hear his word. Beginning Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And so shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. May the Lord bless his word now to our hearts and minds in Christ. Once again, Lord, we gather together this afternoon to sup upon thy word. We pray thee that thou will help us to do just that. Impress us some more. Impress your word upon our hearts and minds. And the only way to do that is by faith, through faith, believing that it is the word of God. And may it just captivate us now and forever. Forevermore. In Jesus' name, be with us. Be with each and every one of us here now. We pray. Amen. I don't know if you ever heard this before or read it somewhere. I just want to read something to you concerning the declaration of war. This was a declaration written by Congress, December 8th, 1941, whereas the Imperial Government of Japan has committed unprovoked acts of war against the government and the people of the United States of America, therefore be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that the state of war between the United States and the Imperial Government of Japan, which has thus been thrust upon the United States, is hereby formally declared. And the President is hereby authorized and directed to employ the entire Navy, naval and military forces of the United States, and the resources of the government to carry on war against the Imperial Government of Japan and to bring the conflict to a successful termination. All of the resources of this country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. That's a declaration of war, and that is said and done over and over again, time and again. That was back in as you mentioned, December 8th, 1941. It's terrible. And whether you consider it just or unjust, right or wrong, this is what man does when he wars against other men, when he wars against, when nations war against other nations. They make declarations of war. Sometimes they're more informal than this one. They're not necessarily written out for all to see, but they certainly are declared. And as I said this morning, we in the United States have been at war for the last 15 years in one way or another, and for the last 8, not a day without it. And it looks like it's going to continue. Now, there's not a declared war against terrorism per se, but there was a war in Afghanistan, the war in the Persian Gulf. There was wars that we have been involved in. And it's a terrible thing, isn't it? I mean, it's upsetting. It really is upsetting when people want to fight. I know what it's like because, you know, I have had fights. You know, we've had fights at home, and they're upsetting. We don't have too many anymore, right? Just do everything I say. And I do everything you say, and we're fine, right? We've made a pact. You do what I say, I do what you say, and we're fine. Yeah, right. It doesn't work, right? And so we all know what it's like to war or fight or argue. But I don't think that we appreciate where this comes from. Why is it that way? You know, you say it's sin, and that's true. But do you know who waged the first war? I mentioned this before. And it wasn't in these declarative words, as far as we know, because it was done in heaven. So I want to talk about that first war declared by angels, fallen angels now, devils, demons, and then by man, that war. Then I want to towards God's declaration of war, which is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's a declaration of war. I want to talk about that. Then I want to talk about the the enmity that is stated in that verse, in verse 15. And finally, in the fourth place, I want to say that God did this for you and for me. God actually declared war for you and for me. So let's just unpack this a little bit. It can get deep, it can get heavy. I don't want to do that tonight. It takes a lot of preparation to really sort of build the whole scene up as best you can. These things that are talked about in Genesis, for example, because they just go one after the other after the other. Not much is said about each thing, and yet there's so much to it. It has meaning and message to us today. Can you imagine that this has meaning and message to us today? I'm going to show you. I just want to give you a flavor for it, if I possibly can, by the grace of God, do that. As I said, I've mentioned this before, that the first war was declared in heaven by the devil and those who sided with him, one-third of the angels of heaven, sided with Satan at that time. And there was a war in heaven. We talked about in Revelation, right? Spoke about in Revelation. Not many much detail about it, but that they all fell from heaven. They were all expelled from heaven because you can't have war in heaven. So that was the first war that was declared against God. The demons, right? The devil and the demons declared war against God. Well, in order for Satan to continue his warring against God, he instigates the woman. He goes to the garden where Adam and Eve is after he fell and the rest of them. And he goes to the garden and he instigates a war between man and God. by informing the woman, actually with a lie, that if you partake of that tree, the fruit of that tree, it's not going to kill you. In fact, it's going to make you wise like God, knowing good from evil. Remember? And she looked at the tree, and it looked good for food, and it wasn't poison. It was tasty. It was fine. Maybe it was the best tasting fruit she ever tasted. I don't know that, but it was certainly good for food. And she believed the lie that Satan was telling, and he was conniving with her. And so she went against the Lord's will, and then she gave to her husband, and he went against the Lord's will, the Lord's commandment. And they, in effect, declared war with the devil. See, they sided with the devil at that point. And so they're now on the side of the devil, who has declared war in heaven first against God. So now we have the devil, the demons, and the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, have declared war against God by their action, more so than anything else, which was the start of that war against Japan. Their action caused the declaration of war. It's hopeless, right? Because look at who you're going against. Satan and all his demons were cast out by God easily. It didn't take God any energy or any strain or strife to do that. And the man and the woman were no match for him either. So just because they joined with the devil and the demons against God, that's not going to add much. That's going to add nothing. And so these enemies, if you will, that have declared war against the holy God are on the losing side for sure, for sure. They don't have a prayer. They don't have a chance against the Almighty who created them. All seemed hopeless. And it would have been had not God declared war. Now God has made a declaration of war. And this declaration is found in sort of a rudimentary form in Genesis 3, verse 15. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is it. This is going to be the war that will end all wars. I, God, have made a declaration of war. And the war will be that I will set enmity between the devil and Eve. That's the declaration of war that God has set in motion among men and women. There's a war going on between men and men and men and women and women and women and so on. You know, you get it. And that war is set by God himself, who says, I will put enmity between thy seed, the devil's seed, and the seed of the woman. And so we come to that declaration where God has set it in motion. And what's going to happen, this is going to be God's superior force against the inferior force of Satan, the demons, and reprobate men and women, those who are on the side of the devil, right? That's the inferior force. The superior force is God, because the superior force is going to bruise or smite or crush the head of the serpent. Whereas the inferior force, which is the devil, is going to wound, bruise, bite the heel of Eve's seed. And I've talked about that before. Ultimately, you know the seed is Christ. But before we get to that, think about think about how that's pictured in nature. Snakes live on their bellies. Is there a snake that has legs? I don't know if there is. There are salamanders, and there are certain kinds of creatures, worms and caterpillars and things like that. I don't know if any snake has legs, but even if it did, it'd be really short. And I think that's the nature of the snake, right? To crawl on his belly. And that's what it does. And you know something? If you meet a snake that bites, oftentimes it will bite you in the leg or lower in the ankle or the foot or the heel, right? And hopefully it's not poisonous, but it will bite. Some snakes do bite and they hurt. And they may not be venomous or poisonous, but they hurt a lot. What do you do? What do people do? Well, in the past, they used to take their shovel and chop the head of the serpent off. You know, so there's something of that going on where God did lay that out in nature where the snake would nip at the heel or bite the lower portion of the leg and the gardener, the farmer, whatever, would cut the head with the knife or with the shovel, cut the head of the serpent. You know, you get the picture there? So that there is the inferior force nipping at the heel, bruising the heel of the superior force, which will ultimately crush its head or, you know, bruise its head and cause a mortal wound to appear. But actually, this picture here in verses actually 14 on, the Lord is talking about Satan, about the rational creature, the tempting creature, the evil-speaking creature that Satan appeared in the form of. The snake was an instrument for Satan. But God is really speaking to Satan. And he's not only speaking to Satan, but he's declaring war against all of Satan's offsprings. All of Satan's offspring. Right? Anyone who's on the side of Satan and the devils, God has declared war. I will put enmity between my seed and your seed. The devil's seed is reprobate men and women. The thing to note is that the devil cannot produce his own seed. This is the irony of it. The devil cannot bring little devils up and raise them and have them attack the man, the woman, ultimately Christ. He has to get his seed through the woman. Do you see? God is setting the woman that he used to side with him against God. Now he's getting the woman. He's using the woman, God is using the woman to have Satan's seed come from her so that there is Eve now against Satan's seed because the seed of the woman, which is ultimately Christ, is all the elect of Christ, is going to be against the seed of Satan, which also comes from the woman. So God has set a war up among Eve's children. Some of them are going to be the seed of Satan, spiritually speaking. Every reprobate, every man, woman, and child that is born against Jesus Christ and stays that way is the seed of the serpent. You see, he can't have seed. So he's dependent upon the woman to have his seed for him, to raise up an army against God. Cain was the first one. He was of Satan's seed. And then there's the other seed, which leads to Christ. And all the elect, all the chosen ones, all the faithful in Christ Jesus are part of that seed. That's called the seed of the woman. Also comes from the woman. And that seed is against the seed of the devil, which comes from the woman. And so you have God declaring war against Satan by using the woman, who he thought would side with him, who he got to side with him. But God turns it all around here. And that's because he wants to save a people for himself. So he's not going to abandon the man and the woman. He's not going to abandon the woman's sons and daughters who are part of the chosen race. He is just going to abandon those who are the seed of Satan. But you see, the seed of Satan, the seed of demons, the seed of the devil, who is a liar and a murderer and a scoundrel, comes from the woman. Now you tell this to the world, you tell this to the godless, and they're up in arms against you. I don't even think preachers preach this anymore, this kind of stuff. That these are demons' children. These are the devil's sons and daughters, the reprobate. These are not in the image of God like we are in the image of God through Jesus Christ. These are not people that are loved by God. These are devils in flesh appearing. They simply come from the human race because the devil can't have kids. You see how God's declaration will turn it right around and is actually very merciful to us. But because of Eve's sin and because of Adam, she also has children like Cain, who was the first in a long line of reprobates. Abel, the first in a long line of the elect, leading to Christ. That's God's declaration of war. And in his declaration of war, he says, I will put enmity. God is going to put hostility, right? That's what enmity is. Hostility. Stress. Strife, hatred, animus, animosity between men and women. Men and men, women and women, men and women, you know, all that. The reprobate and the elect. The reprobate, dear people, those who are ordained unto destruction, unto condemnation by God, will always oppose the true church of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said when he sent the gospel? Woe are you if all men speak well of you. If all men and women and boys and girls are speaking well of you, you're doing something wrong. Now, you could be obnoxious and have an obnoxious personality like I do sometimes, and that's my fault. But if you're standing up for Christ, if you're standing up for godliness and the gospel, the truth and all that stuff, the reprobate are going to despise you and hate you. One word out of my mind, I would be taken off television in a moment. You mean to tell me the Jews that don't believe in Jesus are going to hell? I wouldn't say it that way. I would say the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for all Jew and Gentile alike. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to God but by me. So you figure it out. Off he goes, right? Because he's condemning all that don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not condemning them. I'm just telling you the word of God. Let you figure it out for yourself. But you see, the reprobate will always hate that kind of message. Those who are destined for hell or who have not yet arrived at heaven's gate because God has not opened their eyes yet, oppose that message. But I want to say, along with many others, the reformers and many others, the commentators and such, that there will never be a time on earth where the gospel, the true believer is not represented. There is never going to be peace and goodwill, calm and love and kumbaya, as they say, between the true church, the true believer, and the reprobate, who's a son and a daughter of Satan. It will never be peace between them. I'm not talking about a relative peace, a peace going on between neighbors, trying to get along, trying to work together, trying to achieve a task and all that stuff. That's superficial. That's on an earthly level. But when it comes right down to it, you're going one way and they're going another. And it could never, the two can never meet. And so, the reason why this is, brothers and sisters, is because God's done it. God says, I will put enmity. I will put hostility. It's not your war. It's not your declaration. It's not mine. I may say it in a way that you don't like hearing it. You might not like my New York accent or my personality traits and all. But I'm telling you the truth, the God's honest truth. I didn't put enmity. I didn't put this there. I didn't talk about this hostility and this hatred that exists between God, between the people of the devil. And in fact, calling them the people of the devil is obnoxious sounding, right? Why do you say that? Why would you say it in that way? I'm not saying it. God is saying it. God said, Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father is the devil. He's a liar from the beginning, and so are you. He was a murderer, and so are you. You murdered all the prophets. Look at what these people are doing now, murdering the innocent, the unborn, their own unborn sons and daughters. Murderers all. All of them. It's certainly not it's not my word. I didn't make the rules. And I say, I have said in the past to you that I have learned to tone down some of my speech and some of my language, and that's fine. Especially in conversation between people, you need to tone it down. You can't be, you know, saying this kind of stuff in public because you're going to wind up in fistfights. Obviously, no one's saying that. But the truth of the matter is, Satan can't have babies. So his sons and daughters are coming from the woman. Plain and simple. Whatever you do with those sons and daughters, you do. But that's where the demon seed is coming. Also, the elect seed's coming from the woman. The man and the woman. That's the way God's declaration works. He says, I'm going to put enmity between the two of you. And you say to yourself, well, okay, it's God who's going to put this hostility, not between politicians. I'm not talking about that, the Republicans and Democrats. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking enmity between the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Jesus Christ, and all the rest. The enmity is there. It's built in because God said it. It's not going to go away no matter what man does. But he's done it, dear people. He's done it for you and for me. That's why he's put the enmity there. That's why he's built this built-in hostility exists between the world and the true Church of Jesus Christ. Because God will have mercy on his people. Because God will distinguish them. He will separate them. In this world, he will separate them. And so even though there is this hostility which God has introduced, and even though there's this war going on between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, ultimately who is Christ and his elect people and the reprobate, it's in mercy that God did this. It's the only way to get the woman and her children to heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to come through the line of Abel, then Seth, and so on. And so it's the mercy of God in Jesus Christ that has caused this enmity to exist, that set up this hostility. And if I may say, the hostility is really between Satan, coming from Satan, who started this whole thing, and his seed, coming from his seed. They're hostile towards us. We're not to be hostile back. We're to show the love of Christ, hopefully, prayerfully, saving some. But thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, who has, in mercy, remembered us and has turned a total disaster, what the woman and then the man did, a total disaster into a heavenly, heavenly blessing. But for now, dear people, there is this built-in hostility, this animosity between Satan's seed and the true church of Jesus Christ. That's why it exists. But I'm encouraged. Because if it didn't exist, where are we? It's supposed to exist to distinguish us. If it doesn't exist, where are we? May God give us strength in his mercy. Give us strength, remembering that we are weak, but he is strong. And they are very angry, Lord. They are very angry at us. They're very hostile, and they're showing it all over the world these days, even in these precious United States. We need to realize, too, that this is from you. And bless his holy name. Let us pray. Bless your holy name, Lord. Yes, bless your holy name. Receive us into your presence now and understand that we understand, of course you understand, that we understand, Lord, that this animus, this enmity is against, ultimately it's against you. But it's against Christ too. It's against God and Christ. And it's against all his elect people, of which we are several. And yet, give us the strength, O Lord, to show them the love of Jesus and the truth that salvation is only of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for separating us from a terrible end. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's, in closing,